Jesus, I hear the music and the life going on downstairs. You made it so clear that you wanted children to be allowed to come to you. You made it so clear that to come to you and to understand your kingdom was to come as a child. Humble, full of awe, full of need. No real way to take care of themselves. Jesus, we repent for allowing and even making children a bummer or a distraction, an option. Father, forgive us for knowing what we're doing by saying some people are worthy to be loved and some people are worthy to be helped, and then ignoring other people entirely. We can't do everything, but you can, and you use your people. And as Pastor John shared with us, Lord, in 1 Corinthians, you've gifted your people. You've gifted Crosswater. And we're one of multiple churches in this little town. You've gifted your people. And Father, sometimes we let those gifts go unused. We've let those gifts be used for our kingdom rather than yours. And we ask for forgiveness. We thank you for the new day that we have upon us right now. And again, as John shared, it's uncomfortable. I'm right here on old knees that don't feel so great. That's uncomfortable. But there's people in here that are feeling so uncomfortable that this may be the last time they come to Crosswater, because it's weird. Or it's uncomfortable in this whole praying out loud thing. I don't really know how to do it or don't want to do it. I came to hear something. God, may they hear you. Holy Spirit, we want to be filled up with you. We want to be led by you. We want to be interrupted by you. God, we want to love this world, but not be in love with it. Jesus, help us to point out how awesome you are. Help us to remind people that a great and terrible price had been paid for them, and you did so willingly with love. And you destroyed sin and death. You ascended, you left your spirit. Holy Spirit, help us to learn today. Forgive us for numbing our pain. Forgive us for trying to be people who look one way, even when we act and sound another. Forgive us for our hypocrisy. Forgive us for our complacency. Thank you, Lord, for the new day, for the opportunity to walk with you, to live for you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it doesn't return empty as we get into this and look at it today, Jesus. We're asking that there would be something in it, your Holy Spirit, that transforms us. But it's not some just touch from you. It's your faithfulness that we would be able to hear you and to get up and to walk in repentance, to walk in forgiveness, to walk in faith, to walk in the Spirit, and to bear the fruit of the Spirit. God, I thank you that you've given us all that we need for holiness, for walking set apart for you, but not acting better than, not ignoring the people who don't know you yet, but actually to be, as the sister prayed, a city set on a hill. God, I love you and thank you for loving us first. Pray all this and so much more that's even just in my head that hasn't even come out yet. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a good day. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, I want you to have a good day. Thanks for standing up for as long as you did. Go ahead and come forward. We're going to take this morning's offering. This is a chance for you to give. When you give through Crosswater, not just to Crosswater. I ask you to consider that we have what's called a community care or benevolent ministry, where people ask us for help for all kinds of things, from bedding for their family to PUD bills to mortgage sometimes. We've been asked, this guy came and gave us his prescription and said, could you get it filled? Nope, we can't. But we can walk alongside of you. And we do. And sometimes we do it really poorly. And sometimes we do it really well. Look, I'm going to have to trim on the run here. So I want to let you know that little Christ means that we get to be like Jesus. But what in the world is looking like Jesus? What, I mean, do we have to grow as much hair as we can? Have a pretty rad beard? I mean, I'm growing as much hair as I can. This is it. I mean, it can't be that we would all physically look like him, and yet here we are in the physical. And so how can we look like Jesus? Actions, good. What does that mean to look like Jesus? Your actions, your words, your heart, good. You guys, when I was a youth pastor, something really rad came out. It was called WWJD. You guys remember what that is? Yeah, what would Jesus do? This one youth pastor was trying to be funny. He said, no, it's Western Washington Juvenile Detention. No, it was, what would Jesus do? But I want to, by way of getting us to think a little bit deeper, I want us to say that it's more than what would Jesus do. It's actually, what did Jesus say? So WDJS. I was going to try and get these bracelets. I'm like, that's expensive. I'm not even going to try. So how about this? What did Jesus do? So what did he say and what did he do? Ask these questions and then do what Jesus did. Gosh, hold on. I'm probably not going to get in front of thousands of people. I'm probably not going to die on a cross. I'm probably not going to go before governors. I'm not going to go before kings. I'm probably not going to necessarily raise people from the dead. I'm probably not going to pray over somebody and they get healed right then and there. Amen. Why not? I'm not going to spit in the dirt, make mud pies, put it on a dude's eye and go wash. Yeah, go wash. That's like a no duh, right? But I mean, maybe. But do you even spend much time saying, God, what do you want me to do? Amen. See, because a lot of us would be like this in the morning, right? The alarm goes off. And you're like, oh, gosh, Lord, make my alarm go away.
Give me the day off.
Or we're like, God, do you want me to get up? Hey, do you have a job? Do you have kids? Do you have a bladder? I mean, you have to get up. And so maybe, just maybe, as you're rousing yourself, you're like, Lord, how can I bless you today? Lord, how can I follow you today? I mean, some of us, first thing we check, especially last week, is the weather. Or maybe we get on Facebook, what's been happening while I've been asleep? Hallelujah, that could be one of the best gifts ever. No offense to people that struggle with that. I'm just saying, for a time, Look, Jesus didn't leave us to guess, and so I'll get right to it. In Acts 1:8, we just read, this is the last thing that Jesus is recorded as saying before he ascends in front of all the people. And my son said, Dad, you keep saying beamed up like Scotty. I don't know what that means. Amen. For those of you who have no clue what that means, it's a Star Trek reference. And I didn't even really like Star Trek. So I just say, look, Jesus rose from the dead. And so sometimes I say, he popped up like a biscuit. And sometimes when he ascended, I'll say he got beamed up like Scotty, because like, Scotty, beam me up, and bloop, and he's up, right? And that's what's happening. But here's the big thing. He actually didn't just leave. He left with instruction and encouragement and reminders. Acts 1:8. If you guys have your Bibles, please open up. If not, it's going to be on the screen. There's Bibles all around you. You can have one. We want you to keep it. We want you to use it. Jesus said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You're going, and you're going in my name. That was what he said. But Pastor John talked about the fact that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. For some of you, that immediately brought the wretch to your feet. I hate feet. But go deeper than that. He was serving his people. And in John 13:15, he says this that is so profound. After he washed their feet, for I've given you an example that you should do just as I've done to you. What would Jesus do? What are you going to do? Do what Jesus did. Okay, Aaron, so how is that? Let me let you know, I've written down a few things and put some of them up here. Here's one. As we seek the Spirit of God, we see the world as Jesus does. We act like Jesus does, and we receive a similar reception. Now, my English teaching daughter said this could be the word positive or negative, or positively or negatively, I'll let you decide how it goes. But we receive either a positive or negative reaction from people as we follow Jesus and as we do what he does, or we positively or negatively respond to what Jesus has done. It's up to you how you want to fit that part, but as we seek the Spirit of God, as we read God's word, as we submit to him, as we learn and practice hearing his voice, we're going to have lots of opportunities to make mistakes, to stand up, to tell the truth, to live it out, to ask for forgiveness, to help people seek forgiveness, to show people what it means to follow God. And so let's go to Acts 3:1-8. These guys, Jesus is risen from the dead. Last week we talked about it was so unbelievable, so wonderful. Holy Spirit comes down. They're speaking in tongues, but the tongues are languages, and the languages are actually known by people. But we also know in 1 Corinthians that there's other kinds of speaking in tongues where people are like, what in the world? I don't understand what you're saying. And some people can interpret it. Some people can't. There's a prayer language, all kinds of really cool things. But the power was upon them. And they were preaching and they were telling people the bad news as well. Like, hey, you've killed God. But he can never stay dead. He bounced back. He rose from the dead. And his name is Jesus. And he loves you. And you need to repent. What do we do? Repent. Be forgiven. Be baptized. Live it out. Well, what else? So much else. Follow him and find out. Don't just come to church, but be the church. We're now actually finding out from this is that the temple is where God was supposed to be, right, for the Jews. And they would have these sacrifices, and the blood of the Lamb would make the temple pure, and then God's Spirit would come. He's like, that was just like foreshadowing. Here's the real deal. The temple is my people. And the blood of the Lamb, the one and only Lamb, Jesus, made us pure. And so now the temple, as we're about to read, shows up at the temple. And there's this guy out there, and he's really, really hurting. As a matter of fact, he's been lame since birth. And I don't mean he didn't have a jump shot. I mean, he couldn't walk from birth. And daily he was brought right there to the temple where he was seeking help. I think at some point he stopped seeking healing and just wanted money, trying to get by. And God says, I see you. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. You guys, so they would pray at 9 in the morning, which isn't the ninth hour. It's confusing, but 9 a.m., 3 p.m., which is the ninth hour, and then right at sunset. They would pray three times, and they'd go to the temple if they could. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms or money for the poor, which was a blessing to God and looked good for people to give to the poor. And so he'd ask alms of those who were entering the temple. You guys are going to pray. Can I get some money? Take care of me as part of your act of worship. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. Can you give to me? And Peter directed his gaze, his look at him, as did John. And he said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. You know this. You understand this. You roll up to an intersection and a woman or a man is holding a sign. Or you're over by Fred Meyer and they got a sign and you don't want to look at them. You don't want to encourage them. What don't you want to encourage? Begging? Yeah, you get a choice, and I'm not saying you have to give them money. What about if you actually brought food and gave it to them, but say, hey, you know what? I don't have cash for you, but here's some food. I've literally had people say, I don't like granola bars. I'm like, then you're probably not that hungry. But they also like, my teeth are messed up. So start bringing Jell-O. Which I'm not even sure is a thing, but but what if you actually had somewhere in your day where you could stop and hear her story or his story? Maybe you would just walk over to Burger King, and get them something super cheap to eat, and hear their story and pray with them. Gosh, my time is up, but I'm still going to keep going. All right. I'm about to. So he looks up at them like, oh, okay, they stopped. They're going to give me something. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. This man had never walked before. And God had the ability, because God's infinite inability to make him strong in that moment. And he used his boys. And then, leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. There's a song already, right? But can you just hear it? I love it. I love hip hop. Don't hate, but walking and leaping and praising God. That's your whip. Walking and leaping and praising God. I just see it happening, and everybody's like, where'd that dude come from? What just happened? You want to know what happened? The boys believed their daddy. They believed him. They just, look, we don't have silver and gold. Maybe compared to him, they had something, but they're like, that's not what we have. But what we do have, we're going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up. Get up. Many of us are afraid to pray because what if they don't get up? Look, slow down and say, you're worth something to Jesus. Let me pray with you. Let me pray for you. Let me give you a little glass of water. Look, a couple things jumped off the page to me that these boys were looking like Jesus. They had humility and they had authority. So did Jesus. These aren't equal opposites, friends. This isn't one end of the spectrum. You can be humble and have authority all at the same time. And in Jesus' name, you have authority. You have authority to do things you never thought you could do. See things and understand things you never thought you could see and understand. The next thing, I noticed that these guys were like Jesus and that they had poverty and generosity all at the same time. Do you know how often we're like, if I had enough money, then I could give. Please don't wait for that. Go to Financial Peace University and find out how to be better with your money. If you don't know how to be, but more than just even finding how to be better with your money, be generous. I don't have money, they said, but I do have something else. Yeah. I got the Spirit of God in me. I've got time. I've got the ability to speak to you. I got the ability to speak to God about you. And so this guy, whether he was hip hop or not, that's my story. I think that's what was happening. But all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And next thing you know, they come up to these men. And I want to remind you at this very moment that these men could have said, look at us, we're getting some publicity. People are coming and checking us out now. Nope, they kept the main thing in church. I want to remind you to do the same thing. The main thing is Jesus. While he clung to Peter and John, I can't believe it, I'm better. We were talking this morning. Did the guy at some point go, oh gosh, I got to find a job? Who knows? What we have right here is that he clung to Peter and John. And while he did so, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. So it was a porch. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we've made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. This is the second time he's preached this message, and it won't be the last. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and then you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this, we are witnesses. We saw all this happen. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Keep introducing people to Jesus. Keep reminding people that it's Jesus. The beggar needed healing. He asked for money, and he got Jesus. The three main themes that we talked about that we're going to see all the way through Acts, and I'll finish with fast forwarding to a prayer that these guys prayed, but three main themes is, where is God? On a week like this last week, where some of you are without power, some of you are without work, some of you are without school, some of you are without hope, just wondering how this family is going to make it through the tragic loss of a little 9-year-old girl. And you wonder, where is God? I'm here to tell you, he's never left. He's in his people. He's on the throne. He's forever good. And he loves you. Jesus' followers will look like him. In our lives, through our lives, in our words, and our deeds. And who can stop Jesus' church? Many will try. Nobody will be able to. These guys were confronted by the Pharisees and said, hey, what are you doing? By what power did you do this? And like, look, if you're asking how this crippled man and the kindness to him came about and how he was healed, I'll read it for you really quick. It's in Acts 4, verse 12. Verse 11 says, this Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Our whole lives are built. The whole world is built on him. And there's salvation in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then we read this in the beginning of the series. These people looked at him, recognized that though they're a common, uneducated men, not a compliment, by the way, they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. But they didn't know what to do because this miracle happened. And they told him to be quiet. Don't preach in the name of this Jesus anymore. And in verse 19, Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. I mean, there's humor here. Look, if you think that we're supposed to listen to you rather than God, we'll let you figure that one out. You guys be the judge of that. And the world does think that we should listen to common sense, we should listen to ourselves, we should listen to money, we should listen to power, we should listen to the common theme of the world, which is, do your thing. You do you, boo. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. And when they'd further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And so they're just like, okay, we can't help it. We've got to tell people about Jesus. We've got to be like him in this world. We believe in him and we trust him. And so they were threatened to stop. You know what they did, church? They went and they prayed. And we'll pick it up in verse 24 and we'll finish with this prayer today. When they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, that means totally in control God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. They came against Jesus, thought they defeated him, and yet they didn't. His kingdom come, his will be done isn't just a song, isn't just a prayer. It's a reality. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. There are things that happen, church, that we don't understand, and it doesn't seem right, and we don't like it, and we do need to repent of bad activity and sin and all of that. But sometimes bad things happen, and God actually is in it. Come on, right? Absolutely. If you know what that is, it's he makes all things work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Gosh, there's so much to talk about. But they're praying, and they're saying, look, you are God, and even when everybody rallied against you, you are still God. And so this is what they request of God. I want to ask you, when you pray to God, when you're struggling, when you've got things that are a challenge, when you're threatened, when you're unsure, what do you ask for? Because this is what they ask for, and I think it's a great lesson and example for us. And now, Lord, Look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness. Not lop off their heads, cut their Achilles, make them have to take five. It wasn't about them at all. Continue to help us to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. It's God that does this through us, in us, around us. Heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We can't help it. Dear friends, I want to encourage you to pray for sensitivity and boldness to see and do as the Holy Spirit sees and does. This is how we're going to look like Jesus, is we're actually going to look to him. So I'm going to ask you for the next 30 days, set yourself an alarm that you would pray, Holy Spirit, help me to see and act as you see and act. Yes, this is going to develop a time with God. Well, I want it to be more authentic. You got to act. Let me ask, anybody dating right now? If you're like, that's a sore subject, bro, why'd you bring it up? Okay, so we're dating, right? You have to actually set apart time to do that. You got to communicate with your loved one. You want to get to know somebody, you spend time with them. Set an alarm. Holy Spirit, you are awesome. You live inside of me. I don't even really know what that means. I want to know more. Fill me up. Help me to see as you see and act as you act. Do as you do. Make Jesus known. Help me to be bold in that. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's short. You can spend as much time or as little time, but talk to God. Ask him to fill you up, to make you bold, make you look like Jesus. He's doing it. You might as well get in on it. God bless you. Have a wonderful day today.